All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion and we'll... As we celebrate the birth of Christ, I want you to understand that it was all for this moment, right here, the sacrifice. Everything was about the sacrifice. Everything was getting Jesus to that cross so that God could set his creation free. And he wants us to take communion often. He said, take it as often as you will. You can take it once a day. You could take it three times a day if you wanted to. But the main thing is to do it on purpose and release your faith in it. Don't just take it out of a religious habit, but release your faith in it and point out these different things. When we discern the body of Christ, we're looking at that sacrifice. And we're seeing his perfect, sinless body that was beaten and bruised for us. That means sometimes we have hurts that are deep down in us that maybe we mask or keep buried. But Jesus can get down in there and heal those wounds. And we look at this body of Christ and we see that there's stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. He paid for our healing before he paid for our sins. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus shed his blood, we get redemption in some area. And if you'll notice, this bread is slightly burned. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. And God actually turned his eyes from him. When Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the only time he ever addressed him as God. He had always addressed him as Father. But because Jesus was rejected, because God turned his eyes away from Jesus, he'll never turn his eyes away from us. God accepted his perfect sacrifice. So we celebrate this season, we celebrate this communion, and we take of his broken body, we receive our healing. That blood of Jesus was not shed until it was time. When it was time for him to be sacrificed for our sins, to set us free, to pay the full price for everything we did, that's when he shed his blood. That perfect, sinless blood that is still alive. And it is still cleansing us from all sin, made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now today, we can stand in the presence of God as though nothing ever happened. And we thank you for this. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 3, verse 16. Oh. All right. Yeah. 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 Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over all these people and their livestock, all the way through the Midwest, all over the place that has been affected by this bomb hurricane or bomb cyclone. Father, we come against a storm, and we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll bring them through with your mercy and grace, Father. There'll be minimal losses. And Father, we ask you that the people that are without power, that their power would come back fast. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. John chapter 3, verse 16. And I want to... This is one of those verses that gets thrown around a lot. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." It's important to understand that God doesn't love us because he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus because he loved us. Amen. He created man in his own image in the garden. And evidently, him and Adam would walk in this garden in the cool of the morning and visit with each other. That's the heart of God. He wanted to have that companionship, that fellowship. And then Adam lost his estate there. And God prophesied about our Savior. He said, "There's coming one that's going to bruise your head." And it took thousands of years to get to this point that we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior. And all of those prophecies that God prophesied, all these things that were going to happen, and where all these things needed to happen, and how it was going to happen. Now, I want you to look at Luke chapter 2. Verse 1. "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the day's work accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." There's a lot there, Neil. There's a lot there. God told Satan that the seed of woman is going to come after you. And if you know anything about, you know, I raise livestock, and women don't have seeds. They have eggs. Only men have seeds. And you get your blood from your father. See, we have Adam's blood coursing through our veins. Because we got our blood from our father. And our father traces back to Adam. But not Jesus. He got his blood from God. That's why his blood had no sin in it. And Jesus never made any mistakes. Not once. But also in this account right here that we just looked at, said that there was no room for them at the inn. Well, that's true. There was no room for them at the inn. I heard stories that they were so poor that they couldn't afford a room. That's not exactly right. Although their offering was a pigeon dove, or a pigeon, and that's from a poor family. But God had prophesied that this child would be born in a special place. Whenever you realize that God was talking about Jesus in these sacrifices in the Old Testament, and these are all types and shadows of Jesus, these sacrifices, and then you start to understand the Lamb of God, then you start understanding what was going on. Because in that place, there was a special group of people that are called shepherds. And they didn't raise just any kind of sheep. They raised sacrificial sheep. These were the best shepherds in the country. They raised the sheep that they used to sacrifice in the temple. And in this place, there was a watchtower on a hill. And at nighttime, they would take the sheep up to this watchtower, to the safe place, to put them in at night. And the shepherd would actually sleep in the doorway. Remember, Jesus said, nobody comes in or out unless they go through me. He said, I know my sheep, and I call them by name. You know, the shepherds actually do that. They said that the sheep know his voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I actually got to witness that. The shepherd was walking down through the traffic, cars, people walking around, traffic is traffic jam and all this stuff. The shepherd was walking down, and his sheep was following him. Well, anyway, these special sheep, when they were born, they had to be perfect before they could take them to the sacrifice. So when a baby lamb was born, they'd take this baby lamb and they wrap this lamb in swaddling clothes. And they would put this lamb in a manger. And a manger is they take a stone and they hew it out. Like a tomb. Jesus was born and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. He is the perfect sacrificial lamb. And they put him in that manger. And when he died, when they wrapped him in linen, they put him back in a manger. Rock. our perfect sacrificial lamb got here. I don't know the statistical odds of all these prophecies and all these timelines and all these things happening at just the right time. But it's astronomical. And God nailed every single one of them. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Abraham got his promised son, and he took him to a mountain that God pointed out to him. And he said, "You sacrifice Isaac." So Abraham tied Isaac up, got the wood for the fire all ready, and was getting ready to kill him so he could sacrifice him. And the angels come down and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, don't lay a hand on that boy. God will provide himself the lamb." And Abraham looked over, and there was a ram with his horns caught in the thorns. Didn't our Savior, on the way to his cross, wear a crown of thorns? God provided himself the lamb. Our Jesus, the Lamb of God, came for the sole purpose of saving us. Look here at verse 8. "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." These were mighty angels. These weren't little bare-butted babies with some little bitty bow and arrows that were flying around. These were mighty angels, and they were celebrating. God got his sacrifice to this earth. They proclaimed that the war between heaven and earth was over. It was done. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's how God looks to you. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. This is something that we need to spend time thinking about. John 10:10 says, "A thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." In this season where we seem to be focused on how much we can give, who can give the best gift, who can give the right, perfect gift, who can do this, and everybody is focused on the abundance that they got to produce, when we are supposed to be focused on the abundance that Jesus has given us. The abundance of life. The abundance of health. The abundance of peace. The abundance of grace. How many times do we just stop and think about how much Jesus has given us? Sometimes just stop and think is our focus on the right thing? It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted in, during this season, you know, where everybody's running around shopping and doing everything and trying to make everything perfect, and people get in pressure to perform. All the time Jesus said, "Come to me, you that are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you." He wants us to rest in Him. We should take a deep breath during this time and realize just how fortunate we are in America. We can advertise about worshiping God and celebrating Jesus. And we can turn all the lights on and do it openly and do it without fear. There's some places where they have to hide in caves to celebrate Jesus. They have to celebrate Him in quiet places, tucked away, out of sight, hopefully out of mind. In this time when it seems like there's a lot of pressure for us to perform, we need to stop thinking about our performance and think about His performance. His perfect performance. The one and only person that could walk this earth without making a mistake did that. And then He took our place on the cross so that we could take His place at the right hand of God. Now we're seated in Him. What a wonderful trade. We didn't do anything right and He didn't do anything wrong. But He traded places with us. Now we get what we didn't deserve. And we don't get what we did deserve. We should be very fortunate that we don't get what we deserve. Jesus took that. And then He gave us what He deserved. He gave us life and gave it to us more abundantly. He says, "It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Mary pondered these special things in her heart. She had been told some fantastic things about her child before he was even born. But the Bible says she pondered them. She stored them in her heart. How many treasures do we store up in our hearts? The special things. We all have special things that we store up in our hearts. Special memories that we store up in our hearts. We ponder them from time to time, and they bring us great joy. One of the neat things is when we ponder our salvation. Have you ever thought about the adventure that you went on to get to the point where you could get born again? I thought about that a lot. And there's no way that I would have bet on that happening, the path that I went on to get to the point where I got born again. Well, I asked Jesus to help me. You know, that's one of the best prayers you could ever say. Jesus, help me. You know, that's why he came, to help us. He came to help us. He came to have mercy on us when we didn't deserve mercy. He came to have mercy on us when we hadn't done anything to earn mercy. He came to give life to us when we hadn't earned it. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. And he found us. Amen. The birth of Christ, if you think about it, how does a... They figure Mary was about 13 years old when she got pregnant. How did a 13-year-old girl get pregnant and still be a virgin? Only the seed of God can do that, the operation of the Holy Spirit. How did a 13-year-old girl in a land that according to the law said, if you get pregnant out of wedlock, you could be stoned. How did she get through all that without being stoned? Only the grace of God. How does this 13-year-old girl, when she goes and tells her cousin that she's pregnant, her cousin's baby leapt in her womb, and her baby turned into what Jesus called the greatest prophet among the Old Testament prophets, John Baptist. Only the grace of God. This child was moved all over the place, to different places, because God had already prophesied that. Sometimes people say, well, they had to move him because they were coming after him. No, they had to move him because God prophesied it. Amen. God already knew the beginning from the end. He knew how it was going to work. And during all this time, he was thinking about you. When he finally got his perfect sacrifice on this earth, and he got him to the cross, and you said, Jesus, forgive me, be my Lord. Did you know, when your mistakes came up, he wasn't looking at you, he was looking at his sacrifice. God doesn't accept us on our performance, he accepts us on Jesus' performance. In the Old Testament, when somebody made a mistake, they'd take a sacrifice to the high priest would sacrifice this thing and put it on the altar. And God looked at the sacrifice. He didn't look at the man. He looked at the sacrifice. If the sacrifice was acceptable, then the man was accepted, forgiven. How do you suppose he sees Jesus today? Perfect. How do you suppose he loves Jesus today? The Bible tells us that as he is, so are we now in this world. When God sees you, he sees his son Jesus. He sees you through the veil of that blood, through that sacrifice. Our perfect Savior, our perfect Lamb of God, was born to die. The only man that was ever born to die, and he was born to die for us, to set us free. Well, thank you, Father. We praise you for this wonderful, amazing miracle that you performed in getting our Savior to this earth and to his cross and setting us free. Father, we're not able to completely understand everything that happened in this process, but it's beautiful and it's perfect, and we receive as much as we can from you. Father, teach us to receive more from you. Show us how to have an open heart to receive more of you. Give us more and more revelation of the love that you have for us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We have snacks. We have tamales and coffee, eggnog, and cookies and all kinds of stuff back here. Come on back and have some and fellowship.